You may be seated. Before the regular announcements, I noticed something during Mass, which I have noticed before. At least I didn't hear people standing up after the Kyrie when I sang Dominus Vobiscum for the oration. So remember, at a high Mass or a sung Mass, you should always stand when the priest sings Dominus Vobiscum. That would be before the collect, which is after the Kyrie, or if there's a Gloria, it's after the Gloria. And then at the end of Mass, after Communion, the Dominus Vobiscum before the post-communion prayer. But what may throw you off is that the servers remain kneeling at a simple Missa Cantata without the additional servers, but still the laity in the pews should stand when the priest sings the Dominus Vobiscum. This week we have on Thursday the Feast of the Annunciation and the Incarnation of our Lord, an important feast day, and we will renew our act of total consecration after Mass. A reminder, if you wish to donate one or more of the Easter lilies for our altar, you may place the offering of $13 per plant in an envelope together with your intention and place it in the Sunday collection. There will be a parish board meeting this Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. at the seminary. All parishioners are welcome to attend. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, the ceremony of the blessing, distribution, and procession of palms will take place at 8:15, so that regardless of which Mass you attend, you could be present for that ceremony. So if you came to the 7 o'clock Mass and just stayed a little bit after Mass, you would be able to attend and then come early for the 9 o'clock Mass if you wish to participate in that beautiful ceremony. And because of that, there will obviously be no confessions before Mass next Sunday. So next Sunday, there will be confessions before the 7 o'clock Mass and after the 9 o'clock Mass. Also next Sunday, in the bulletin, there will be a schedule of special confession times for Holy Week. This Saturday, there will be a meeting of the Confraternity of Mary Immaculate Queen after the morning Mass. That'll be a brief meeting. We also have scheduled on Saturday a work party, which we usually do every year on the Saturday before Palm Sunday, to prepare the grounds for Holy Week. If you're able to come, please bring rakes. Those who have chainsaws, we would need a few chainsaws, and especially rakes, and you might bring work gloves. A lunch will be provided in the parish hall between the hours of noon and 2 o'clock. There is a little leaflet on the back table for those who may be interested, entitled St. Isidore's Garden, which is a community-sponsored agriculture partnership at Mount St. Michael. Any of our parishioners here who would like to purchase shares are invited to do so. If at least 5 shares are purchased, then the produce will be delivered during the summer. So if you're interested, take a leaflet, but please only those who are really interested, as there are only a few leaflets. And also on the vestibule table, there is a box that has some booklets in it. One of them is entitled Vocations, and for our young people who may be considering a vocation, that is available for you. There are copies of the booklet on cremation, as a couple of people yesterday asked me for copies. And I don't remember the cost of those, so you could just give a donation in the collection. And there are also a few Holy Week missals, especially for those who do not have the Pope Pius XII Holy Week in your missal. You may want to purchase a Holy Week missal. There are also some holy cards from the funeral yesterday for those who did not receive them. After Mass this morning, there will be the blessing of religious articles, which we always do on the third Sunday of the month, and also there will be a bake sale downstairs sponsored by the Sodality and Catechism class. The epistle that is read for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, He entered once for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by virtue of his own blood into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is why he is mediator of a new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "Which of you will convict me of sin? If I speak to you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews, therefore, in answer, said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if anyone keep my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Immaculate Queen, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Please be seated. My dearly beloved, today's epistle is taken from the 9th chapter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Now, you know that St. Paul wrote many epistles. The majority of them were to communities in various cities, such as in Corinth, or Thessalonica, or Colossus, Philippi, and so forth. A few of his epistles were written to individuals, Titus, Timothy, Philemon. But today's epistle was written to all of those of the Hebrew race. Now, St. Paul was also an Israelite. And not only was he an Israelite, but he had studied under the masters in Jerusalem as a scribe, and he learned the writings very well, the Old Testament. And in today's epistle to the Hebrews, St. Paul is trying to convince his fellow Israelites that Christ was and is the Messiah, that he fulfilled all of the prophecies spoken concerning him. And as you read through this epistle to the Hebrews, there is much that to us would be confusing, but keep in mind that St. Paul is pointing out how our Lord fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. In today's epistle, there is some strange language about the blood. how our Lord, in virtue of his own blood, entered into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. The idea that our Lord, by dying on the cross, died once for all, eternal redemption, that it never has to be done again. And he goes on to say, if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And what St. Paul is making reference to is the tabernacle. Now, when Moses led the chosen people out of Egypt, they went through the Red Sea as it divided, allowing them to pass. And then they encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai on the Arabian Peninsula, or the Sinai Peninsula, rather. And they were there for 2 years. Now, we know that during those 2 years, at least at the beginning, Moses went up on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. But what happened during the rest of those 2 years? God revealed to Moses what we refer to as the Mosaic Law, all of the prescriptions, all of the requirements by which they were to serve and worship God. And you can read about that in the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus. Very detailed instructions about the worship of God. Among other things, God gave Moses the exact dimensions and designs of the tabernacle, and even told Moses which worksmiths were to construct these various things. There was to be an altar, the altar of sacrifice, another altar of incense. There was to be the seven-branched candlestick, the brazen laver, and the table of showbreads, and above all, the Ark of the Covenant. And the tabernacle was like a movable church. And as they traveled towards the Holy Land, the Promised Land, they would take it down and then set it up again when they arrived at their place to camp for the evening. And there was a curtain around the entire enclosure, but within the enclosure, there was a special section called the Holies, which also had a curtain around it. And the Holies was divided into two parts. There was the part just called the Holies, which the priests were allowed to enter, and there would be the candlestick and the table with the 12 loaves, symbolizing the 12 tribes, which were replaced and refreshed every week. And then another curtain separating a section called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was nothing but the Ark of the Covenant. And especially once they arrived in the Promised Land and the tabernacle was set up, and then later the temple, only the high priest, who had to be a descendant of Aaron, was allowed to enter, and that only once a year on the Feast of Expiation. And he would go into there and sprinkle the altar and himself with blood from a sacrifice. And the idea was that sprinkling of the blood was to cleanse the people from their sins. So this idea of blood from the victims that were offered is very much a part of the Old Testament. So St. Paul is showing us that our Lord shed his blood to redeem us, to cleanse us of our sins. And indeed, all of those sacrifices and all of those ceremonies of the Old Testament would have had no value whatsoever, except for the fact that they foreshadowed the perfect sacrifice, which is that of our Lord on the cross. Our Lord was a priest, is a priest. Many times in Scripture, he is referred to as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. In today's epistle, St. Paul begins, "Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come." Now, a priest offers sacrifice. And that's why Protestants don't call their ministers priests. They call them ministers because they don't have a sacrifice. It takes a priest to offer a sacrifice. And our Lord on the cross was both priest and victim. He offered the sacrifice of his own life to his heavenly Father for us. And as you know, there were many, many sacrifices in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, on the day when the temple built by Solomon was solemnly dedicated, there were thousands of sacrifices, animals that were slain liturgically and offered to God as a sacrifice. One wonders what the PETA people would think back in the Old Testament about all these animals that were sacrificed daily at God's command in atonement for sin and to obtain blessings. So all of these sacrifices foreshadowed the perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Now there is a very interesting verse in the prophet Malachias, chapter 1, verse 11. You've heard it many times before. From the rising of the sun, even to the going down, my name is great among the Gentiles, and in every place there is sacrifice, and there is offered to my name a clean oblation, for my name is great among the Gentiles, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this verse is very, very striking, having been written, as it was, hundreds of years before Christ. Because the Jews did not associate with the Gentiles, and they considered any form of worship outside of the worship in the temple as it truly was, schismatic. As a matter of fact, when Solomon, because of his falling away from the worship of God toward the end of his life, at his death, the kingdom was divided. Two tribes were given to his son, Roboam, and the other 10 tribes followed Jeroboam. And Jeroboam, because he didn't want the 10 tribes that were with him to go to the temple, set up an idol and built his own temple. And that was schismatic. So the Jews had this very strong concept that there could only be one temple and the sacrifices had to be offered there or they were not pleasing to God. And there are two things very striking about this verse. One of them is the idea of the Gentiles. My name is great among the Gentiles. From the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name is great among the Gentiles. And the second thing, and in every place there is offered to my name a clean oblation, a sacrifice. There was only sacrifice in the temple. So what is the prophecy? We know that this is a prophecy that one day there would be the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And the Mass is offered throughout the entire world. Everywhere there's a true priest saying Mass, that sacrifice is offered to God. So rather than just the one place, the temple in Jerusalem, and that's why people came from hundreds of miles away, like at Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles, St. Peter spoke, and it says there were men from every nation under heaven because the Jews had been scattered, the diaspora, but they returned for the major feast days, those who could, because there was only sacrifice in that one place. But now the prophet Malachias, who is accepted by all the Jewish scholars before the time of Christ as being his prophecy being divinely revealed, he is telling us that there will come a time when there will be sacrifice in every place on the earth. The sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, that can be the only explanation of the fulfillment of this prophecy. And that my name is great among the Gentiles, saith the Lord of hosts, that the Gentiles would be converted and would be welcomed into the Church of Christ and have the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So our Lord then died upon the cross to offer the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that had been foreshadowed by all of those sacrifices of the Old Testament. And now, with the death of Christ on the cross, to practice that religion of the Old Testament, sacrificing, would be displeasing to Almighty God, because our Lord had fulfilled it. The Old Testament passed away. He was the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. Now we have the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And as I said, Protestants do not have the Mass, do not have any sacrifice. And how can a religion be complete without sacrifice? Even if you go back to pagan religions. They all understood that there had to be sacrifice. They would take an animal, or they would take food items and so forth, separate it from their own use, give it to God or to whatever deity they worship, burn it up, destroy it as an act of homage to God. Well, if you asked a Protestant, what is your sacrifice? They would say, well, Christ died once for all. And we don't need to have a sacrifice because his sacrifice was perfect. And while it is true that our Lord's sacrifice was perfect, it is also true that he said to the apostles at the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me, that he commanded them to offer the Mass. And again, this prophecy must have its fulfillment, and it can only be fulfilled in the Mass, which is the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Keep in mind that the Mass is the same as the sacrifice on the cross. It is the same. The only difference is that the Mass is offered in an unbloody manner. But the priest is the same because Christ is the principal priest at every Mass, and Christ was the priest on Calvary. The victim is the same, the body and blood of Christ, and so the sacrifice is the same. And we cannot possibly fathom how pleasing to God is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. If we really understood that, we would not want to miss Mass. You read this in the lives of saints and of good Catholics who try to get to Mass every single day, or at least as often as possible, because every Mass is infinite. Tomorrow is the Feast of Saint Isidore, and perhaps you remember the story about Saint Isidore, who was a farmer, a laborer, would go to Mass every morning. And his employer was not real happy about that. He wanted Isidore to be out there plowing the fields and not spending time going to church. And he always wondered how the fields always got plowed and the work got done. And so he watched one day, and there were invisible hands, the angels, that plowed the field for Isidore so that he could go to Mass. How pleasing to God it is for us to attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And how sad it is that Catholics who could go to Mass don't make an effort to go to every Mass possible. They don't understand that value of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now, when you can't go to Mass, especially those who have to work or live at a great distance, you can always send your guardian angel to Mass in your place. Just as we make a spiritual communion, we say to our Lord, I wish I could receive you now, but since I can't, come into me spiritually. You can do the same thing with Mass. You can attend Mass spiritually. You can, in spirit, go there to the church and be there. Unite your intention with that of the priest to offer the sacrifice to God and offer to our Lord the desire to be there. I remember the story of that wonderful woman in England, Mrs. Vaughan, in the 1800s, who got up early and went to the early Mass. And of course, in those days, there would be morning Masses in every church at 3 or 4 different times, depending on the number of priests that lived in a given parish. And so she went to the early Mass every day and got home in time to get her children up and get them their breakfast and off to school and so forth. And she had one of her sons became a cardinal, one or two others became bishops, a couple others became priests, several daughters became nuns. She had a large family, and there were all of these vocations in the family because of her devotion to Holy Mass. So many graces come from Mass. Let us pray that we will never take it for granted, that we will never get used to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, that we will assist at Mass as though we were there with our Blessed Mother and Magdalene and Saint John standing at the foot of the cross as our Lord died thereon. Because truly, every Mass is the renewal of our Lord's sacrifice on the cross, although in an unbloody manner. Let us always remember that and reverence it as such. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.